Hi, same here, squad. Lou here. Just popping on before the show to let you know that we recovered Marie's audio. So it kind of sounds like she's talking on the phone. That's kind of fun. Well, it's not. I'm sorry. We'll do better next time. Enjoy the show. Welcome to Same Here, Man, the podcast that pays $1 per room you can.
I like it.
Lucille Mills.
I am Marie Renee Katz.
And...
And I'm Francine Mills.
We have a very big, I guess, announcement to start off today's show.
It's sad.
Yeah.
As many of you may know, I am expecting a baby in May.
Very exciting.
It has become apparent that I need to take a step back from the Same Here Man podcast because life is busy and I'm about to get a whole lot busier.
Are you telling me you're going from one baby to another baby?
Yeah.
But one of them is real?
Yes, exactly. I'm very sad.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into a podcast other than just sitting here and
hell yeah.
Talking and recording.
Oh, yeah.
Lou knows. Lou's our editor, so she knows how much goes into
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Fret not, dear listener. Marie will still have visitation rights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to still pop in every now and then as a guest, but as far as permanently on the show.
Introducing.
If you couldn't already tell, I am awesome sister to our lovely Lou here.
And if their voices sound similar, I promise it's not just Lou talking to herself.
I swear there's a difference.
Mom and Dad are still together. They're just living in separate apartments at the moment.
They're on a break.
Yep. So, big announcement out of the way. What are we doing here?
So today's episode, we're going to be talking about chores.
No!
This episode is going to be more of just kind of like a discussion, getting to know Frankie.
Chores mm-hmm. have so much to do with how I view the world and how I view my house and other people's homes. I'm really excited for this topic.
Absolutely. And this is something that I've been thinking about, like, for years before we even had the show. The way that you're raised to do chores when you're a child, how much that dictates the way that you do it when you grow up and how much those processes are generational in a way that we don't really think about.
Dude.
Like, the first time I became fully cognizant of it was when I went to college and lived in a dorm with a random roommate who I had never met prior to move-in day.
Mm-hmm.
And the ways that we would complete the same chore would be entirely different. And we would have...
Squabbles?
Squabbles, yeah. Not even really that. Just more, like, apparent differences in the ways that we wanted to do things.
Interesting.
Like, wow, it never occurred to me that people would have different... usages for Lysol wipes.
I'm sure Johnson & Johnson is happy no matter how you use it.
Yeah.
They already have your money.
It's true.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Oh,
I guess in my experience, when I moved out, I actually moved out with my brother. With our brother, I guess.
The brother.
Yeah. The way we did chores was we would kind of complain to each other about how the other does a chore or how they don't do chores enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this new place, there is actually a dishwasher. Ooh, fancy. Because it's like, we never had one before.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm starting to find myself getting irritated how he loads up the dishwasher, because he just kind of mismatches everything.
And yeah.
It's like, all the bowls go on the bottom one.
Yeah, that's a great example. Even, like, just the way that you're taught to load a dishwasher.
Oh, which I never was.
Yeah, same.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We grew up without a dishwasher or internet or anything fun.
Oh, wow.
We weren't Amish, but we could have pretended pretty easily.
Wow. So that's actually really interesting because in my household, chores were so granular that there was a specific methodology for loading the dishwasher.
Wow.
as an adult, it's taken me a long time to realize I don't have to load the dishwasher exactly how my mother said I have to.
Oh my gosh.
If I have different objects that fit in another place, I can just put it there. No one's going to police me, yeah. You know?
You know, I think of your mother every single time I vacuum my house.
Oh my gosh.
Because I almost never vacuum in straight lines because I just can't be bothered. It just doesn't make a difference in how clean a room right. gets. And so I kind of purposefully vacuum without straight lines just in defiance against your mom.
Wow.
I don't know why I do it. I think about her every time I vacuum.
That's hilarious. I also think of her every time I vacuum, but for me it's more like, the lines need to be straight. The lines need to be straight.
I just think of how satisfying it is to suck up all the dirt and stuff. Mm. I'm like a heat-seeking missile when it comes to, like, debris on the floor.
It's so satisfying.
So one of the things I wanted to do in this episode, since I have a unique opportunity of having two Millses here with me, is talk to you guys about your experiences doing chores and see how they're the same and see how they're different. Because obviously Lucille was the oldest child,
yes.
Frankie was the middle child. And so I'm curious if chores were different based on age and that type of thing.
I super think they're going
to
be.
Yeah. So I've prepared some kind of discussion questions to guide our chat today.
Ooh, fun.
So, kind of starting off just in a general sense, what was your relationship with chores as a child, and how does that influence your relationship with chores as an adult?
Me. I call first.
No.
Not just because I was born first, but also because I was born first.
Always has to be first.
Guilty. I suspect it's going to be really different from the perspective of having disabled parents for both of us, mm-hmm. because when mm-hmm. I was born, both of our parents were not disabled. And by the time both Frankie and our little brother were born, we had mm-hmm. two disabled parents. And so I have a memory of parents who were more capable of doing chores around the house and didn't rely on our labor as much. And I have a suspicion that my younger siblings don't really know what that life was like.
Interesting.
So I'm super interested to see how that turns out.
How about you, Frankie?
That would definitely be a can't relate on my part. because growing up, I usually saw my parents not as capable as they once were, especially with my dad, because mm-hmm. he had more of the physical attributes that just he couldn't move as well as he used to. Mm-hmm. And so that made me think of myself in the role of, like, I am kind of taking the role in as, like, a caretaker.
Mm. Yeah. We all kind of did.
So that made me view chores in a different light, where I'm doing this because my parents aren't physically capable of doing so.
Yeah.
And again, this is more on part of, like, my dad, because my mom was definitely capable. It's just that she would, I believe, just get so burnt out because she would do so many chores.
Yeah, she did so much.
Yeah. And it's like busting her ass, you know, just to, like, you know, raise three kids and also keep the house clean.
Yeah.
That anxiety, needing to keep the house clean, definitely bleeds over into my life.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, looking at the floor, like, I need to vacuum, or, like, I need to clean the bathroom, even though I absolutely abhor the bathroom. Like, I try and avoid that shit physically and mentally.
So, are you saying you never pee?
No, I just mean, like, in a cleaning sense.
She just pees outside. Did you guys ever have chores that were specifically related to taking care of your dad because of his disability?
One of the biggest chores I remember for us all growing up was the responsibility of taking off our dad's shoes.
Oh
yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because after he had been on his feet for a while, it would be just way too hard for him to bend over and untie his laces.
Yeah.
So that was something that we all definitely took turns being responsible for. And it wasn't even a begrudging thing necessarily. It was just something that, like, clearly needed to be done.
But that's interesting because I never viewed that as a chore. I would never even consider that
exactly.
as a chore.
Exactly. I've spent a lot of time thinking about how a lot of the things that we did as kids didn't feel like chores, but mm-hmm. they were definitely not things that we just did for fun. They were responsibilities around the house. And I think depending on how we're defining a chore, that would definitely fall under that umbrella.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I actually read one study where they interviewed the kids of 30 families. So I think it was like a total of 52 kids. One aspect of it was quantitative. So they took data on the number of responsibilities and chores the kids were doing. And then they also did a qualitative aspect of it where they interviewed the kids and asked them like, well, how many chores do you do? Like what it, like they just asked them a bunch of chore related questions. And it was interesting because a couple of the kids were like, yeah, I don't really do any chores. But when they observed them, they definitely did do chores, just the kids weren't considering those things to be chores.
Yeah, I think the framing of that makes a huge difference.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Like the only chore I can really think of existing in our household was doing dishes. I think Frankie did a lot of the dishes, especially as she got older. And then things out in the yard, like picking up cigarette butts or burning tumbleweeds.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were things that were clearly chores.
For me, I was actually put on bathroom duty quite a bit, so maybe that's why I detest the bathroom
me
now.
Me too.
I did not know that.
It stunk. It just didn't make me feel good, and there's this, like, chemicals. It's such a small, enclosed space.
No kid wants to
it's
do
like,
that.
It's like, ugh, terrible. 0 out of 10.
Fun.
Would not do
no
it again.
Fun.
But I think I might have to.
Yeah. Like, please clean your bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
That actually kind of leads us into the next question I had written down. And by the way, if you're listening and you feel so inclined, I tried to write these in such a way that you could use this as kind of a thought journal and answer these questions in your head and think about how this maybe has affected your life.
Aww.
So the next question I have is, did you have a set chore list to complete on a regular interval, such as daily, weekly, or monthly? Or was it more just a do what mom and dad ask when they ask? And how do you feel about the method that your family chose?
It was definitely the second one.
We Mills don't do lists.
No.
We definitely don't
do
lists.
We love the idea of structure. But our dad definitely had ADHD, and our mom was so busy trying to keep shit together. There's no way anything got done regularly. And even the idea of things getting done regularly, no.
Yeah, no. It was chaos.
That is so foreign to me because that is completely opposite to how it was in my household.
Yeah, I'll bet.
A good way to describe what it looked like in my household is, for Christmas this year, I got my mom a mug that has a picture of an Excel spreadsheet, and it says, oh, that calls for a spreadsheet. And she loved it.
Wow.
Because every week, my sister and I had set chores. So I was on bathroom duty, she was on vacuuming duty. Within that chore, there was an Excel spreadsheet with every task in the chore broken down.
Oh my God.
So it would have a list of like,
oh my God.
Yeah, dude, I'm not kidding when I'm joking about the spreadsheets, but
it's like a job.
Yes. Yeah, so it was like, it was like dust the decorations, clean the toilet, wipe the shower, mop the floor, sweep the floor. Like every aspect of cleaning the bathroom was broken down individually.
I mean,
oh my God.
Being an autistic kid, that would be great.
Yeah.
True.
But, like, if you don't know how to do a chore, that would have been so much better than, like, having someone hovering over you.
And honestly, for me, I resented how exhaustive the list was, but it was also really helpful because
yeah.
I am an ADHD child. Having the task broken down into smaller tasks actually really helps. And I don't know whether my mom was fully cognizant of the fact that she was helping me in that way or if she just didn't want me to forget anything, but having it broken down that way actually helped me stay on task, and the satisfaction of crossing off each item as I would get it done would make me, I don't know, more motivated to keep going.
That's kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
I kind of love that. I should do that for myself.
Yeah.
Our house growing up was a disabled house, and it's, you know, run by two disabled adults. And so I think that makes the idea of doing things consistently incredibly challenging because you don't know how you're gonna feel when you wake up. You might wake up and have a really good day and like work on the house and change the oil in the truck and do all these things and go grocery shopping and then need to recover for a week or whatever.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is highly variable for that reason.
You just do things as you have the energy for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Quite often, I don't know if it's the same for you, Lou, but for me, our dad would take us grocery shopping late at night. when he actually had the energy to do so, and he would just have us tag along.
Interesting.
But looking back, we had definitely more chores at the church of our childhood than we did at home.
That's super
because
interesting.
As disabled parents, especially as my dad, who never wanted to identify as my dad, especially our dad. That's weird. I'm going to start doing that. welcome to the podcast break.
Papa.
He is the father. He never wanted to identify as disabled. And so he would always find ways to feel useful or to contribute in some way, even if it was kind of at the expense of other things, including his own health or his family or both.
Right. And he would kind of like instill that into us.
Did
you guys find that he would sacrifice the cleanliness of your house to use his energy to do more public chores like cleaning up the church and stuff like that?
Definitely. Our house was not the cleanest.
That was going to be one of my next questions.
Actually, when me and our brother moved out together, and he noticed our little trailer that we rented out, like in, again, another place in the middle of nowhere, but he noticed how clean and orderly it was, and he was like, why wasn't it this clean over at the homestead, you know? And it's like...
Because you lived there.
Yeah, because it was like five people and not just
like
two
you could
people.
Answer your own question.
Right.
But to be able to see that stark difference and not be able to get the correct information out of it was just, it's laughable now.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Pops.
Did your guys' parents check your work when you completed a chore? And if so, what was their reaction when a chore was not done to their standards?
Ooh, I have specific memories of this, especially when I was little. So like when Francine and our little brother were babies or even before they were born, when I would do a chore as a little kid, like sweeping up a room or something, he would come and see that either it wasn't done quickly enough or that it wasn't done thoroughly enough. Mm. And he would snatch the broom or whatever it was out of my hand and then do it at like lightning speed. Because even after he became disabled, our dad was the strongest man on the planet. His hands were massive and he could like... squeeze the windpipe of a boa constrictor. It was insane.
The thing that he would do, and he thought it was like so funny, he would like grab our wrist with two fingers and rub the bones together. It was the most painful thing ever.
He's a strong guy. Yeah, I don't know. He thought his strength was really funny or something, or he didn't know how to estimate his strength after he became disabled, but he was still stronger than most people, even though he was in extreme pain. Anyway, that was a total tangent, but he would snatch the broom or whatever it was out of my hand and then like whirlwind do it in front of me in frustration. I could see the frustration, and that's kind of when I started taking on and internalizing the like, oh, dad is angry, I must be a bad person kind of feeling. And it was never a like, hey, can you do this spot again, you missed it. It was a fuck it, I'll do it myself and make you watch. And it was just always the worst lack of love experience ever.
Yeah.
So that's how I remember chore correction. I don't know if you have a different experience, Francine.
I have a completely opposite experience, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah. Shocker. Plot twist. Whenever he would ask me to do, especially house chores, I would usually do them with my mom around to see if I was doing it correctly. And then once I was kind of old enough to like do it by myself, I would do it.
Gotcha.
I think I just got really good at cleaning that he didn't really bother to check, where he was just like, oh, you vacuumed, you did it so fast. And, you know, it looked good because, you know, I made sure to get everything.
That's interesting. So your strategy was just do it really, really well so I never have to be corrected.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and also if you're getting praise from doing it unprompted, that's totally reason to want to do it more.
That's super true.
I guess there's also something to be said about the morality in chores.
Say more about that.
Like how, you know, that whole quote saying cleanliness is next to godliness.
Ew!
Ooh. That was never really a thing in our household. I don't remember hearing that, did you?
I just know it was a very popular phrase.
Oh, so you just took it, like, from society in general.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I only associate it with the SpongeBob movie. cleanliness is next to managerialiness.
Francine joining the show is just going to be like at least one SpongeBob quote every episode.
That's correct.
We're substituting my like very shameful Harry Potter references to Francine's SpongeBob references.
Oh man. You know, two different kinds of shame. We'll accept all of them. The exchange rate is 1-to-1.
I feel like I experienced a little bit of both ends of the spectrum as far as my parents checking my work, because my dad would do something very similar to what you described, Lou, with your dad, to where if I was doing something too slow and he would tell me to speed up and I'd be like, well, I'm going as fast as I can, he would grab the thing from me and show me like how fast he could do it. And it was always kind of like, okay, odd flex. Yeah. Like, you're literally an adult man and I'm a like 7-year-old child.
Weird competition sort of deal.
Yeah, it did. It felt like weirdly competitive. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you're better at adult things than me. Go off, I guess.
Congratulations.
That's gross. Congratulations.
Maybe he just won a participation trophy.
True. Yeah, and my mom was more methodological about it. She would come in and check my work and would critique each individual thing that hadn't been done correctly, and then would ask me to do it again. I mean, it was better in the sense that at least I knew exactly what it was that I had done wrong, and I could know not to repeat that same thing in the future. And it wasn't just like taking it out of my hands and doing it for me and making me feel bad without any actual constructive feedback.
Yeah, did she use like a really neutral tone and everything?
That's exactly it. The tone is the key there, because sometimes she would say it in a frustrated tone, and so I still felt the sense of I did this wrong and I failed.
Oh.
And then I would have to do it again, even though I thought I had done a good job. So the thing that Lucille referenced earlier with the vacuuming, one time my sister and I decided to trade chores. So she did the bathrooms that week and I did the vacuuming.
Fair
and
enough.
I vacuumed the whole house.
Oh no.
But apparently my lines weren't straight enough, and so my mom made me do it all again to get the lines straight.
But the floor was clean!
Exactly.
Oh, that's awful.
So after that, yeah, we switched back and both of us were like, no, fuck this. Like, let's stick to what we're comfortable with.
Never again.
Yeah. So one way I feel like that has influenced me as an adult is I really have to check myself to not be critical of the way that my husband cleans. Because kind of going back to what I was saying in the beginning, everyone is raised to clean differently and to different standards, and cleaning was not as big of a focus in his family, and they didn't have the same level of methodology that my mom had.
Very few people do.
Right. So when I see him load the dishwasher in a way that I wouldn't have loaded it, I literally have to like bite my tongue not to be like, oh, well, actually you have to put this here and put that there and these things shouldn't be overlapping. And because I remember how it made me feel when my mom did that. And at the end of the day, I would rather have the dishwasher not loaded the way that I want it to be loaded than to make him feel the way that I felt.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing malicious about loading a dishwasher differently or improperly. And ultimately, so many of these things that we get so peeved about because of what was so important to our parents don't fucking matter.
Exactly.
Like, most of the dishes will get clean. And, like, my dishwasher, no matter how well you load it, there will always be a couple dirty dishes. You throw them back in. You run it again with the next cycle. Like, it's not the end of the world. But it can just feel so grating. It's so strange.
I did that a lot when we were first married because, you know, he'd vacuum and I'd be like, you didn't make the lines straight. And then he'd be like, why does it matter if the lines are straight? And then I had this realization of, oh my gosh, I'm turning into my mother.
Oh, and like the realization of, I don't have an answer for that.
Exactly. Yeah. And kind of the awakening of, I guess I, now that I'm an adult, I don't have to do everything the way that my parents taught me to do it. I'm allowed to choose how I want to do it.
Totally.
Were you guys ever paid to do chores?
Occasionally, never consistently.
I think the ones that were more of an outside chore and a bit more unique
I mean, but also it was highly subjective.
Yeah, that too.
In what way?
Like, it's super dependent on how the family was doing financially.
Oh. True.
Because when the family was doing well, you get paid for any chore, just because dad wanted a reason to spoil his kids and to feel like a put-together human.
Right.
When we were doing not well, it doesn't matter how hard a chore was, it wasn't going to be a paid chore.
I mean, if the money's not there, it's not there.
Exactly. Some of the most grueling chores we ever did were moments when our dad was working underneath the house. Mm. And he had to have smaller humans climb underneath the house to work on things. So
we would
climb through, like, rat poop and silt and, like, the sewage and, like, all of the crap to, like, rework on the plumbing for the toilet and stuff. Because he was very much a DIY guy. He's not going to spend $50 to pay somebody when he could do it himself for
$60. Right.
That is the grossest chore I can think of.
Yeah.
That and, like, digging up a septic tank.
Yep.
But we did not get paid for those kinds of chores because that wasn't a time when we were doing well.
I think I strategically avoided that by just doing house chores way more often.
Yep. I never, ever remember you having to do those things. It was always me and little brother.
I remember this one memory, like, very viscerally, is kind of a punishment-esque sort of deal. At our old house, there was a little hole in front of our yard. It's like a water main sort of thing, I think.
Yeah.
It was like a hole, and I was like, oh, I'm going to throw rocks in there. Our dad found out.
Oh, no.
And he was like, okay, well, I'm going to dangle you by your ankles and have you pick out all those rocks.
Oh my gosh.
The entire time I was screaming and crying. I was like, this is scary. I hate this.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that story. And I wasn't there when it was happening. I just remember how shooken up you were.
Yeah. Aww. It was scary. Even though it wasn't that big of a hole, but, like, still really scary.
Yeah.
Being dangled by your ankles in any situation is terrifying.
Absolutely.
Where were we?
So there's actually a lot of debate on whether allowance should be given regardless of chores or if it should be given as a reward for chore completion.
Mm-hmm. Or not at all.
What are your thoughts on this? And by the way, I'm not so much asking whether you think allowance should exist, period, but rather... Mm-hmm. What should allowance's relationship to chores be? Should it be unrelated or should it be as a reward for completing all your chores?
I think either way is totally valid if you're putting a lot of thought into how you're doing it and into how you are giving it and if it's consistent.
Yeah.
The problem I think for us was that money related to chores or allowance or anything was never consistent.
Mm.
And I super understand why, but that made it really hard to form a stable connection with money and how it works.
Yeah.
And our family also didn't have a stable connection with money and how it worked.
Yeah.
I remember many times having a conversation with my dad trying to negotiate what an allowance is in the first place and why don't we have an allowance and can we have one and other kids do this. And I just remember the excuse being, no, I don't believe in allowance, or God doesn't believe in allowance, or he would try to tie it back to faith somehow, but or I didn't grow up with an allowance. And then he would pay us sometimes for chores. And that was always a very strange, I don't know, there was never anything stable in that conversation.
Yeah.
How about you, Francine?
When it comes to allowances, I think when I was younger, it would be like 25 cents here and there.
Interesting.
I think I actually got 25 cents here and there from you, Lou.
There's like a trickle-down economics going on in that family.
Whoops.
I know in a previous episode you talked about parentification.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in some ways that also affected how chores worked, because in some ways you were like the supervisor for me and our little brother.
Oh, that's interesting.
But allowance-wise, it would be like really big chores, pulling the weeds out of half an acre.
Oh, yikes.
Here's $2.
Yeah. I think when I graduated and I was still like trying to get on my feet and like just trying to figure out what I wanted what trajectory I wanted to go in. He gave me some projects and chores, like pulling weeds.
Motivate you away from hard labor?
I guess. Or, like, motivate me to find something to do.
He tried, but our dad did not know how to motivate us very well.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it was in my family. If it was like a bigger chore that was kind of outside of our usual weekly cleanup, then we would get paid a little something extra for that.
Yeah.
We, for a long time, didn't do allowance, but then once I started getting a little bit older and my parents started wanting me to pay for my own things, but I wasn't old enough yet to have a job, then we would do the system that my parents did, which I actually really liked, I'm not going to lie.
Ooh.
I would get half the amount just regardless of chores and the second half upon completion of the chores. So if for some reason, like, let's say I had a soccer tournament that weekend and I wasn't going to be doing my chores that weekend because we always did it on Saturdays, then I would still get the half amount, but I wouldn't get the full amount. So it was like a little bit of both, kind of like the best of both worlds. But I tried to find some, like, research suggesting, is there a one method that works better than others? And as with most things, it's very subjective.
Makes sense.
I found some studies that showed it's better to not have allowance tied to chores, some that said it's good to have allowance tied to chores, and then some that said it didn't matter at all.
And you were right in the middle of both?
Right.
That's so funny.
And so I think it's exactly like you said, Lucille. It's very subjective, and it depends on how your parents go about it.
Yeah, I think consistency is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Expectations are everything, not only when you're an adult, even more so when you're a kid.
Especially when it comes to consistency surrounding labor and money.
Yeah.
Because when you go to work, you should have a consistent rate that you get paid. You should have a consistent pay schedule. Like, these are standards that we should expect.
Oh, yeah. And when you don't have those standards, that's when people go on strike.
Right, exactly. And the way it was always presented to me as a kid was, we're paying you to do this work so that you can start learning how a workplace operates. And if that's the case, it should be consistent in the same ways that a workplace should be.
There was, like, one magazine that I remember that we read in English class where there was a debate going on where whether or not students should be paid to go to school.
Oh.
And I thought that was kind of an interesting point as well, because I guess that would be considered sort of an allowance, but not necessarily for chores, but for, like, academia.
That's such a fringe idea. I love it.
I have a really good quote from one of the studies that I read relating to that. It says, some children stated that their primary responsibility was to attend school and complete their homework assignments. As Becky, 6 years old, declared, well, the job is to go to school. That's my job. Which was similar to responses by children in other families who cited homework as a chore. While schoolwork may not be considered a type of household chore, it was viewed as an important responsibility among some of the families in our study. For several of the parents in our study, monitoring children's homework was a routine task. Those children who could manage school assignments by themselves saved their parents the daily trials of overseeing this activity.
Wow, fascinating.
What are your thoughts?
That's really fascinating that a kid would be so ready to say that school is their job.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Schools are reminiscent of old-timey, like, industrial factories where you have, like, a set time for lunch and then you have this regimen where you, like, raise your hand for
things. Yeah, I mean, it is really similar to a workplace that's a set time every day, you know, 8 to 3 or whatever your school hours were, and then you typically don't have school on the weekends. So, yeah, it's really similar to kind of like your typical 9 to 5 workplace.
Yay, capitalism.
Not only were the children seeing their homework as a chore, which I never thought of.
Same.
But I also never considered the fact that the parents having to monitor and help their children with their schoolwork would be a task for the parents to complete too. Like, that thought never crossed my mind.
Yeah, same. Our parents definitely were never in a position to do that.
Our dad would actually complain about us bringing home homework.
Oh, yeah. He thought homework was antithetical.
Yeah, because, like, when you're home, you learn home skills and, like, you learn how the house works and family and, like, morals, ethics, like, that sort of deal at home. Whereas at school, you learn, like, academia and, like, maths and, like, science and things that the parents don't really know.
And that argument is still prevalent and popular today.
Yeah.
Because just logically, a child is in school 8 hours a day, and then they have to take work home.
Yeah.
That would be abhorrent to do to an adult. And so there are actually a lot of arguments like that still occurring that I think our dad would be really proud of if he knew they existed.
Hell yeah.
There are parents who think homework is just amoral.
That's a really interesting point. We were drawing so many comparisons between schoolwork and having a 9-to-5. But the difference is, with a 9-to-5, you clock out or you leave for the day. You don't come home and do more work, usually. I mean, some jobs obviously do, but it is interesting.
Thank you.
So this is kind of going back to what you were saying with parentification, Frankie, and how Lucille kind of took on a more of a leadership role amongst the kids.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I have many stories.
Research shows that the number of chores a child is expected to perform increases with age. So as the oldest sibling, Lucille, my question for you is, did it ever feel unfair to you that you had to complete more? Let's say you're 15 and what is your guys' age difference?
We're 5 years apart.
Okay, so let's say you're 15 and Frankie's 10. That's going to be, I mean, the difference between what a 15-year-old can complete and a 10-year-old can complete is pretty different.
Oh, yeah, like I was cooking dinner.
Did you ever have any resentment about that?
I didn't, personally. Mm-hmm. I would cook dinner and then Frankie would do dishes. And
that
is a normal division of labor, even in, like, my marriage now. Like, one of us will cook and one of us will do dishes. Yeah. And that's considered totally equitable and fine.
Right?
First of all, we never really had set chores in the first place.
No.
But I never really felt that I had a larger burden because I was the older kid of chores. What I had the larger burden feeling of was things like I could hear when Frankie and little brother would fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would break them up or I would, like, intervene. And a lot of the time, whenever I intervened in their bickering or squabbling or whatever, or roughhousing or just being annoying because kids are annoying, one of the things I would always do to break them up is I would send them to each other's rooms to clean.
Yep.
Honestly, game changer. They loved it so much because they would get away from each other and then they would come home to a clean room.
Yeah.
And so we ended up turning it into a game called Room Switch, and we would, like, clean each other's rooms with, like, a timer and everything. Yeah. And it worked out
that
great.
That is so cute.
But that was more like I would assign a chore because that was how I would kind of discipline around roughhousing or whatever.
Wow.
So even then, that was my parentification in action of looking over what the younger siblings were doing and kind of keeping them in line. But it, again, wasn't like a distribution of chores.
Interesting.
I would say you also don't have, like, the overwhelming feeling of having to clean your own room.
Cleaning someone else's house is so much easier.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know why. It's just a lot more fun than cleaning your own house.
Because it's not personal. It's just business.
It's novel.
Exactly. It's novel. And you get the feeling that you're doing someone a favor rather than doing an obligation for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would, like, quell whatever fights they were having because they were each doing a nice thing for each other, but they didn't have to interact.
Yeah.
If you guys wanted to make up and be like, I'm sorry, you could, but I wasn't going to, like, force you guys to say sorry to each other because that's weird. It works like a charm, man. 10 out of 10 would recommend again to a friend.
In that same vein, I also think of group chores where all three of us would do things. What I immediately jump to is stacking wood, transferring wood and stacking it. There was also another one, transferring rocks or something, and we used a wheelbarrow.
Oh, no. I hate this story.
This is a visceral memory of mine where we were bickering so much, me
story.
And our little brother, that I threw a rock at his head.
Oh, no.
I didn't mean for it to connect, but it did. Thankfully, he was fine, but good Lord, he had so many head traumas.
Yeah.
Ugh. Poor guy.
There are plenty of times when one of us has done something sad and regrettable involving little brother's head.
Yeah. Oh, poor guy. Yep.
Okay, enough about poor little brother's head.
All right.
What about you and your sister, Marie?
We were very competitive with each other. Mm. I'm the younger sibling, and so as the younger sibling, I was constantly trying to measure up to what my sister was doing, even though developmentally she should always be 2 years ahead of me. I always wanted to be matching her to our own detriment.
Oh boy.
I would always want to either match her or be better than her. And obviously she wanted to be better than me because she was older. But then where that became a problem was when it came to things I didn't want to do, like responsibilities and chores and things like that. I had kind of like the reverse resentment as the younger sibling of being like, well, wait a minute, I'm only 10 and she wasn't doing this chore when she was 10. She only just now started doing this chore at age 12. So I should have 2 more years of freedom before I'm expected to do this chore.
You're so litigious. I love it.
That logic did not fly with my parents.
In that same vein, when it comes to our little brother, it seemed like he complained a lot more than the two of us combined. Mm. And that might be because he was pushed more into doing outside work. So maybe that was part of it.
Yeah.
Especially when it came to our neighbors. Mm-hmm. They were like a very old couple. He would go and like pull weeds for them a lot, do a little bit of housework with our dad, and he would complain a lot. Our dad was trying to instill in him the sense of being a servant to other people. Mm. And how that could be really rewarding in some cases. In other cases, it could be like, you know, you're denying yourself.
Yeah, or like you need praise from other people.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in any one given scenario. But also a lot of the house chores were already taken by the time little brother was old enough to do chores. Because there were two of us.
Yeah.
And I think we would be remiss to not mention that chores are often a highly gender-specific thing.
Yeah.
And it's something that's really hard to look at intentionally because it's just so built into our system. Yeah. Like the husband takes out the garbage and the wife makes the dinner. Yep. It's just a very kind of comfortable system that a lot of us fall into.
Yeah. I was going to ask, were chores gendered in your household? As in, was there a clear distinction in the chores that your dad and brother were doing versus your mom/sister?
I would say so.
Totally.
Yeah.
That probably had a lot to do with it. But yeah, chores are super gendered. I actually just saw a TikTok that really made me think about how chores are gendered the other day. And it wasn't really enough to like build a whole episode around, but I definitely think we should mention it. And if I can find it, I'll link it in the show notes because I think it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. And this woman was talking about how she was raising her son in a household doing chores, but in a way that she didn't want her son to absorb the gendering of chores that is just present in society. Mm-hmm. So instead of assigning him a specific chore, it's like every time you come home, look around the house and see some way that you can contribute to the household and find it and
do that. Well,
that's cool. And her reasoning behind it was really fascinating to me because she actually articulated it as, I don't want him to think that doing things around the house requires the oldest woman in the house to tell you what to do.
Right.
I want you to be able to take initiative and like act like you live there and do something to contribute to the fact that you live there without it being something that the oldest woman in the house is responsible for managing.
Interesting.
And I can't get it out of my head. I've never heard such a well-articulated way for the ways that we fall into the patterns that we have around housework. A lot of times it is the wife managing how clean the house is and the husband gets like a honey-do list or a little list of like, can you take out the garbage today or can you fix this thing? And wives become nags and there's so many tropes around that. And I've never really looked at the source of it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of made my brain spin. And I would like to hear what you guys think about it.
I never even put it into that context,
right?
Where it's an older female telling you what needs to be done around the house.
Yeah, and like, no, you also live there. You should also have your finger on the pulse of what the house needs.
Yeah, and this is something that in my marriage we've had to work through, as many marriages have.
Oh yeah.
It, like, my husband is always very willing to contribute, but because he wasn't raised in a very chore-centric, cleanly household the way that I was, he often like doesn't really know where to start. And so he's like, just tell me what to do. And my response to that is always, well, I don't want to be the project manager because that's a chore in and of itself. There's a reason that in workplaces, managers get paid more because they have the responsibility of looking around, figuring out what needs to be done, assigning tasks to different people based on their skill sets. Like, that is a skill and a project.
You have to always have tabs on everything that's happening.
Right.
And to raise your children in a chore setting where the oldest woman of the household is always the one who has those tabs, and you go to her to ask, like, can I have a tab, please, to work on? Mm-hmm. And she pulls one off of her little tab book and gives it to you, and then you go work on that tab and then give it back mm-hmm. to her.
Yeah.
That's not a really sustainable system for raising adults that know how to take care of their own houses.
Yeah. Well, and then it also gives me, as the female, the feeling of, like you said, being a nag. Yeah. I often felt nagged by my mom, and because of my fear of becoming that way, I get very anxious having to ask other people to do things for me and mm-hmm. having to ask other people to do it to a certain standard.
Yeah, it's not yeah. sustainable on that side either.
Right. And even though I could probably be a lot more naggy than I am, I have an internal fear about it, and it gives me anxiety that I don't want to feel. Honestly, like, the best thing that a man can do in a living situation, relationship, or whatever, is to just, like you said, look around the house, see what needs to be done, and then do it. And not need to be directed yeah. or told what to do next, but just to do it.
Yeah. There's something about training a child to know that they live in a house that they also dirty up
mm-hmm.
and that they are responsible for it because they live
yeah.
there. Is something that is not wrapped up in every facet of the chores that we give children.
Right,
I think
exactly.
that makes a huge difference in the way that you view those chores as a member of a household later on in life, especially when you share it with other adults. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, when they move out on their own, which doesn't super exist anymore in this economy, mm-hmm. it is more of a wake-up call when there's no one there to clean up after you. And a lot of people learn cleanliness that way. At least yeah. I'm sure it might have been the case much more so earlier in American history when that was more feasible.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
it's not a thing now. And I think cohabitating with roommates and things doesn't make it any less gendered than it is naturally. I think it's something you have to actively work on.
Yeah, absolutely. Did your family clean the house pretty extensively before guests came over, or like to what extent did you guys clean for guests?
Oh, hell
oh,
yeah.
yeah. We even had a name for it. We called it the Oaky Cleanup.
The Oaky Cleanup?
Okay, I've never heard of this. What?
You haven't?
No.
What? Why was it called that?
Like the hillbilly redneck trailer park trash kind of cleanup is the idea behind that name.
Oh.
And that was my dad's way of kind of berating ourselves or, like, degrading our family in a humorous way of, like, we never clean, and so we just clean up before we have people come over because we don't want them to know that we're total slobs.
Yeah.
And that was his way of making it into a joke, but we would hella clean.
I didn't know there was a term for it, though.
Oh, yeah.
The reason I wanted to ask that question is because this is another difference that I've noticed between myself and not only my husband, but various roommates that I've had. Because in my childhood, it was like extremely important that the house is spotless before guests come over. Anytime a guest is coming over, it's like you're having an open house and you're trying to sell your house. Like it, like the house is staged.
Oh my gosh.
And I've learned through having just a bunch of different roommates and now being married that not everyone was raised that way.
That's crazy.
We'll have guests over now and I'm cleaning up and then my husband's like, the house is already clean. What are you talking about? And I'm like, no, like, it needs to be cleaner than what clean normally is.
It needs to be empty.
It needs to look like I don't even live
exactly.
here.
It needs to be like a Pinterest house.
Yeah. Now, did you have like decorative like pillows and towels that you weren't allowed to use growing
up?
Oh,
yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Weird. We never did.
No.
No, that did not exist.
Everything in our house was already like highly decorative, and so the pillows that were always on the couch were the decorative pillows. But there was also like, you know, a couch that just existed entirely for decorative purposes that we hardly ever sat on and had all the decorative pillows on it.
What the hell?
Weird. You had two couches.
The opulence. Could not compare.
Yep.
But yeah, no, that's definitely a thing from my childhood that I've noticed has influenced me as an adult, because even though I know like my friends don't care if the house is not Pinterest worthy when they come over, I have so much anxiety. If we are close friends, I don't need to clean as much for you.
Wow.
Lou, you should be honored that you've seen my house messy, because that means
I do know this. whenever I come over and like there's a half eaten Taco Bell bag on the like living room
table.
You're
like, nice.
I'm floored. I feel so loved.
You should.
It really brings out all of those warm, fuzzy feelings in me.
Aww. Yeah. I was recently looking at the Sims expansion packs because I'm one of those girls who's really into Sims. Don't come for me. They have an expansion pack that's literally like the lived-in expansion to where you can have like little toys on the floor and like clutter on the table. And I was like, why the fuck would I pay money for this? The whole point of The Sims is creating my perfect household where there are never any dishes in the sink. There are never any toys on the floor. Like, everything is perfect.
Where nobody has free
they
will.
They do the dishes when I tell them.
Where everybody knows your name.
I was like, who is paying for this expansion pack? But apparently it was enough of a thing to be created by the company. I don't get it, though.
It's because they grew up with different standards of chores, Murray.
It's giving, like, Howl's Moving Castle vibes. It can be a mess, but it has to be
an aesthetic mess. Which I was never taught how to have an aesthetic mess. There was only aesthetic, so...
Honey, you've met me. I am an aesthetic mess.
Okay, but that's actually kind of true. My next question is, were there certain chores you liked or disliked more than others as a kid? And is that still true for you now?
I love vacuuming.
I have never thought of it like that. I loved cooking.
Oh.
And I still love cooking.
Cooking's great.
Yeah, if you know me, I have made you.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I love cooking for people.
Heck yeah.
I read something interesting about kids' preferences with chores. So I'll read you guys this quote. It says, although psychologists often consider the effects of such labor on children's cognitive, emotional, and social development, sociologists focus primarily on adult members of the family and implications for the reproduction of current gender equalities. In neither case do we learn much about children's perspectives on household chores or how domestic labor relates to features of children's daily lives.
Yeah, I don't remember ever being asked how I felt about chores.
Yeah,
yeah.
For sure.
Which is super interesting because it's talking about the kind of the difference between a psychologist and a sociologist. But I like the part that said, in neither case do we learn much about children's perspectives on household chores.
Yeah, you don't see many surveys about that.
Right, that's a really interesting concept. There's a lot of talk, especially in like parenting circles, that is about how do you motivate your kid to do chores? What's the right way? Do you pay them? Do you not pay them?
Instead of asking them what chores do they want to do?
Yeah, instead of just saying like, do that's you prefer doing X or Y? And then figuring out what your child likes doing and then making that their chore.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. there's no reason to believe that a child wouldn't have preferences on a chore if adults have preferences on a chore. Like, my husband hates unloading the dishwasher, mm-hmm. and I hate loading it. That works really well, but if I never asked him, if we never had that conversation, that wouldn't exist. We would just both go on begrudgingly doing things that we hate.
Yeah,
exactly.
And there's no reason to think that you can't do the same thing with a kid. I'm not saying, like, ask your kindergartner if they feel like cleaning the gutters. Like, I'm not being unreasonable here.
Yeah.
Don't do something outrageous. But there's no reason to think our parents couldn't have asked us what mm-hmm. chores we liked and hated. Even if it didn't make a difference, like, well, you hate it, do it anyway. At least they asked.
Well, yeah, and, you know, sometimes in life you have to do things that you don't enjoy, and that's okay, yeah. and that's an okay lesson to teach your kids. But also, other times in life, it's an important skill to have to be able to talk with someone you're living with or that you're working with and say, well, this is where I shine and where I thrive, and this is where you thrive.
Yeah,
and that kind of goes back to our compromise and conflict style that we discussed in a previous episode, which is a skill that needs to be developed. It's not something that really comes naturally.
Yeah. We are not born with
in
that.
In adult life, there's a lot of compromising and working through conflicts.
Yeah, totally.
So my next question is one that we already just kind of answered, but I want to ask it anyways in case there are listeners following along and answering these questions at home. Did your family experience conflict surrounding chores? And do you or have you experienced conflict with living mates, such as roommates, partners, etc., surrounding chores as an adult? In my household growing up, so many of our family arguments were about chores.
Really?
Oh yeah. Whether they were being done correctly or done on time, whether they needed to be done at all.
Wow.
I remember also as I got older and started taking like AP classes and being really busy with having a job and after school programs and things like that, I just didn't have enough hours in the day sometimes to complete everything. Even on weekends, I would be doing homework the entire weekend.
Again, the amorality of homework shows its face.
Yeah, yeah. And there were nights where I remember, like, sobbing to my parents and being like, I don't have time to do these dishes right now. I'm not trying to be lazy. I'm not trying to get out of my job. Yikes. I just don't have time because I have 5 hours of homework left and I only have 2 hours left to do it before I need to go to bed.
That sounds awful.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, it was really overwhelming.
Oh my god.
That's what a lot of the conflict in our household was. I wish that my parents had listened to me more when I was saying, I straight up do not have time for this. It wasn't a matter of, because then they would come back with, I worked all day and basically like, you owe this to me for taking care of our family.
Wow.
I don't disagree with you, but for me, it's not a matter of I'm too tired or I've already worked too hard today and I don't feel like it. It's a matter of I still have work to do and there's not enough hours left in the day to do it.
In a way, you have more work.
Yeah, it's you're not listening to me.
Yeah, honestly, I worked harder in high school than I have ever since.
Well, you know, if you have homework 24 hours a day, you have no time to sin. So, I think the conflicts in our house around chores weren't so memorable because a lot of them had to do with how terrible our dad felt. Mm. I think that it was more so when he was in more pain, it was easier to be more frustrated or more needy or to require more out of the family to make up for what he couldn't do. So I don't necessarily remember a time when chores itself, like in a vacuum, formed the meat of the conflict.
Yeah.
That remark actually reminded me of another chore that I didn't really consider a chore, but I used to read to my dad while he was laying in the bed, like in pain.
Oh, yeah.
But during that time, I never really put two and two together. I never really realized that he was in immense pain. And then later on, I was just like, oh, shit.
Wow.
Like, oh, crap. Sorry, that was a bit heavy.
Well, that's cool that you guys had that way to bond, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah. Ooh.
You sent us a link.
I did. So, this is a song.
I am so stoked for this.
We had VHS tapes, and it's basically just songs for kids, but made from Bible verses.
Oh, no.
And I'm not gonna lie, some of them were actually really good. Like, this is not a hating on Steve Green moment. But I am gonna say that Steve maybe missed the mark on this one, okay?
Oh boy. Okay, I'm immediately so skeptical.
My parents would use this song and this verse at us in the context of chores, which is how the video presents it.
Are we gonna watch this video?
Yeah.
Alrighty. 3, 2, 1.
This next Bible verse is a real challenge because it doesn't say do some things
this
or even do
90s.
Most things, but do all things without complaining or arguing.
From Philippians
and then it's a kid
to
reading the verse
14. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God.
That can't be weaponized against anything in any way.
Do everything without complaining.
Just
do
sing
everything
the verse.
Without arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God. Do everything without complaining.
Without complaining.
Do everything without arguing.
That's it.
It's so unfair that they got such a good banjo. What? The implication that if he didn't argue, he wouldn't have dropped the plate?
I hadn't thought of that, but that's actually really funny.
Not Brussels sprouts again.
Not Brussels sprouts again.
Not Brussels sprouts.
Wait a minute, you guys.
Why doesn't the dad clean his own fucking garage?
Exactly.
Lou, it's so that they can become blameless and pure children of God.
I can't believe I forgot that.
Obviously.
I have so many feelings right now.
Remember, if you don't sin, Jesus had died for nothing. Am I wrong?
That's a hot take, but I like it.
Oh, man.
So I thought this was interesting because anyone who's even remotely familiar with, like, Christianity or religion in general knows that the expression children of God is not literally talking about children.
Never.
It's just talking about, like, followers of God.
Yeah.
If you're a believer.
Right. And so I thought it was very interesting the way they took this verse was to mean specifically children, like actual adolescents, and that it had to do with chores.
Oh, yeah.
Because the entire video, it's all about children doing chores without complaining and without arguing. So what are your guys' thoughts?
But yeah, the verse doesn't say kids anywhere in it. I guess I should look up and read the context, but I'm not that interested in it. Because this verse is wielded against children. It's not wielded against adults. And the verse doesn't say anything about it being specifically children.
Exactly. That was my takeaway as well.
Also, it's just so dark to think that you have to do everything without complaining, with no caveats.
Like, that's a very human thing to do.
It is, but I'm thinking of, like, really dark, sinister shit that people get kids into.
So to clarify, like, my problems with this is not the way that the verse is written. That's a different argument altogether.
Oh, yeah.
It's the way that the video portrays this verse and interprets this verse as a way to get children to do chores without complaining and without arguing.
Yeah.
I think that families can actually benefit from quote-unquote arguments surrounding chores, because sometimes arguing looks like conflict, which can be solved with a compromise in which everyone wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing this video really made me realize is that whether or not you're complaining, if a chore is done, it's done.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when you're looking at complaining as the thing that you're focusing on, like, what is the role of getting a kid to not complain during a chore? And it's not for the efficacy of the chore, it's purely about how it makes the adult in the situation feel.
Exactly.
And that's really weird to me. It's about a form of controlling a child's expression so that the parent doesn't feel bad. And that's weird and gross and kind of sinister to me. Not in like parents aren't evil for not wanting their kids to complain, because it makes you feel crummy when your kids are unhappy because you want your kids to be happy because you're a loving parent. There's no one arguing against that here. But there's something kind of gross about you need to suck it up and fake it for me so I can feel better as an adult. And that's just, like, so unnecessary and gross. There's something so weird and artificial about it. You're, like, asking your kid to put on a performance for you at the same time that they're doing a household task.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that we require... No, we do require adults to do the same thing. It's like a customer service grossness, I think, is what it's reminding me of.
Yeah, the customer's always right.
Yeah, and, like, if you're going to do your job, you have to do it while, like, being extra bubbly and friendly. And that's just, like, not sustainable. Something up here in Washington I've noticed is that's not as much a customer service thing. And I kind of love it. It's kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
To not be treated with, like, hi, how are you? What can I get for you? It's like, hi, what do you want?
Wow.
And that's fine.
Yeah. And honestly, like, my concern with this and the way that it was used kind of against me in my household, having a ton of homework and being like, hey, mom and dad, can I maybe not do the dishes tonight because I have so much homework to complete and I really could use this time? They would say, no, you have to do the dishes. And so I would do the dishes, but I'd be unhappy about it. And then they would say, do everything without complaining or without arguing. And it's like, well, I'm not trying to fight with you. I'm not trying to backtalk you or disrespect you.
It's very unrealistic.
I'm just trying to be heard. I want my feelings to be heard. I just want you to understand what I'm going through. And maybe that information will change your decision. Yeah.
A little empathy does go a really long way.
Any form of having an opinion on the chore was seen as complaining and arguing.
Wow.
And was immediately just shut down using this concept. I feel really gross about the way that it was used and portrayed and the way that it was kind of weaponized in my household to basically take away my voice.
That is gross. because kids do have feelings and opinions on things. And sometimes those feelings and opinions can be totally contrary to what needs to be done in the moment. Like, sometimes a kid just doesn't want to put on a jacket and it's 30 degrees outside. Mm. Not all situations are the same, but in most of them, this kind of berating to a kid is not going to produce a very nice outcome. I can pretty confidently say that.
Yeah.
That song's going to be stuck in my head for way so long.
So I have one more question for you guys to kind of wrap up our conversation on chores. If you have children someday, what would you do the same as your parents, and what would you do differently, specifically regarding chores?
So I'm definitely not going to do the snatch the broom out of my kids' hands and do it faster than them and make them feel a bad thing. I did not like that. I'm not going to do that.
Agreed.
I'm coming to this question from a place of, like, I definitely do want to have children, and hopefully if I'm lucky, I will have children, because that is not guaranteed to anybody here. I think the one thing that I am really looking forward to carrying on is the clean someone else's room game that I made up as a kid. It's not even a parent chore.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm in the boat where I think I would never want to have children. I wouldn't want to, like, put that responsibility on myself. Just because it sounds really stressful, really, and it, like, it couldn't be me.
That's a 100% valid take. A lot of people should not be parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your cat kids seem to keep your hands pretty full.
Yeah, they definitely give me more perspective.
Totally.
I wouldn't say I would be absolutely terrible as a parent, but it doesn't sound very fun to me.
That's super fair.
Being an aunt, however, that would be fun as hell.
Well, soon you will be an honorary aunt.
Oh, hell yeah.
Or Funkle.
No, I'm the Funkle.
Oh, sorry. Funkle's already taken. My bad.
No, I'll be the aunt. That's fine.
So that's another really interesting thing about the podcast going forward, is we're going to have the perspective of someone who is looking forward to parenthood and is watching her bestie have her first baby.
Aww.
And someone who is not looking at becoming a parent herself and is still very interested in childhood.
But both perspectives are valid, because one perspective is kind of looking forward to the future and what your future goals will be as a parent, and one is looking back in kind of a nostalgic sense and saying, what can we learn from our childhoods? And I think that looking back and that introspection can be one of the most important tools a person can have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of us grow up and get so far removed from that and think kids are just little mindless automaton copies of yourself that you own and can push all of your stuff onto. And that's just not the case. And if you get so far removed from your own childhood that you forget that you were a living, breathing person with feelings for some reason, that can become really easy to lose sight of.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be just one thing of, like, I hated my childhood and therefore I'm going to do everything completely opposite.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't have to be, I loved my childhood, I loved my parents, and therefore they are blameless and did everything perfectly, and I'm going to completely emulate them in every way.
Yeah, there's definitely a pendulum when it comes to that stuff.
And pendulums swing both ways equally every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Checkmate.
I'm looking forward to experiencing the Same Here Man podcast as a listener. It'll be cool to kind of get to take a step back and just listen and hear the new perspectives that you bring, Frankie.
Yeah, memories.
Yeah, I'm realizing that I don't have the capacity.
You got a lot going on.
Right.
You already have 5 hours of homework, and you're just trying to get rid of the 2 hours of dishes that this podcast requires of you.
Exactly.
I, for one, am very honored to be taking your position. I hope I do you proud.
You will.
Aw. Anyway, I don't know how to end a podcast episode that I don't want to end, because I don't want you to leave the show.
Aww.
And I think I'm in denial about it, and I think it won't hit me until we start recording a few more episodes. But for now, I just kind of am excited.
Yeah.
It's just a new chapter.
A new chapter. One last Same Here Man.
You better, or you'll get fired.
Oh.
So go ahead and play along with us if you want. We're going to take turns saying situations from our childhood, and you can respond with a Same Here Man or a Can't Relate, whether or not they applied to you.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first? There are three of us for the first time
ever. That's exciting.
It's crazy.
Do they have to be chore related, or?
No, ideally, but they could be anything.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I have one.
Yay.
I got money for good grades.
Oh, Same Here Man.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Really?
I think it was not consistent. Yeah.
Oh.
I think that was more of a precedent with the younger sibs.
Interesting. So we already have a difference between your childhoods.
Whoops. That's funny.
I was paid to do certain chores every weekend.
Can't relate. But good for you.
Some chores, like doing the dishes every night, that was a just expectation. But then, like, certain chores that we did every weekend were a paid chore.
Yeah.
You're next, Lou.
Our dad had us do more chores that were, like, community service. Like, we would
same here.
Mow lawns or Definitely. Pull weeds around the house to reduce a fire hazard or things like that.
I think that's a can't relate for me.
So I was going to bring this up, but like, well, I didn't know if it could like tie into Same Here Man, but I remember you running over a paint can with the drivable lawnmower.
Oh no.
And it like went everywhere.
Oh no.
I don't know if you remember
that. I don't remember that. I don't.
Wow.
I think it got on your pants.
Amazing.
Or something.
That lawn probably looked gorgeous.
Definitely.
Okay, I know the answer you guys will have for this one, but I also want to ask it anyways because you guys are going to scream.
Now I just want to answer it wrong.
We regularly had a house cleaner come and clean our house.
No!
Oh yeah, totally.
What the hell?
What, you don't remember Helga, our cleaning lady?
Oh my god.
She made me pancakes with blueberries in them. How could you not remember Helga?
Okay, to be clear though, it wasn't like a nanny.
Well, thanks for playing along to our Same Hair Man game. And welcome, Frankie, to the show.
Yay!
I'm so excited.
Glad to be here.
Do you have social media, Frankie?
Nah.
Well, then.
Just kidding. Don't follow Frankie.
I'm quite the Luddite, as my dad would say, and I think he would be proud of that.
You're right. I think he would. But our mom listens, and we love it.
Yay!
Hi, Mom. Yeah.
Hi, Mom.
Aw.
If you want to share your chores with us, if you want to assign us some chores and give us some episode ideas, you can email the pod at samehearmanpod@gmail.com. Or you can just visit our website and find all the goodies, links to contact us, and merch.
Merch!
At samehearman.com.
Always complain, play Tetris with your dishwasher, and until next time, vacuum like you're in Fast and Furious and drift all over the place.
This has been Same Here Man. This is Marie signing out for now. Do everything without complaining.
No.